want to say thank you this morning to the folks up in the sound booth. I don't take you for granted. I never have. Okay, I just want to really continue to make mention because we could not do what we do this morning without them, the sound, the way they handled the Facebook Live service. You know, Brother Chris Pope, Rusty Monk, and Teresa Davis, thank you. But I want also to say thank you to the deacons and the security team. I appreciate you. And I will say this, and this is to the church and everybody, even the deacons in security. If you are comfortable coming, we want you to have the opportunity to come. If you are not comfortable, we certainly understand that. As you get comfortable, we want you to come back. And even when we do go back to a regular service, and the social distancing is not required by the state or by the federal government, we are still going to have an area set up in this church, designated so that those who are uncomfortable, who are vulnerable, who have pre-existing illnesses, will have a place that you can come and set away from the general crowd, because we want you to feel like you can come back to church and not be required to be like somebody else. Okay, we wouldn't be doing what we're supposed to do for the honor and glory of God if we didn't do that and we didn't care for you that way, and we do, and we want you to know that. Now, if you got your Bibles this morning, we're going to be reading out of Psalms chapter number 1. I want to read that psalm. It's just 6 verses. And while you're turning there, I got one more announcement. Today at 2 o'clock, Darla Carson is going to do a Facebook Live children's church lesson. She's been doing these, and she does a great job. And I'll say a shout out for the workers in this church. You know, our children's church workers, our Awana workers, our Sunday school workers. I've been in church my whole life, okay? I've had some good Sunday school teachers. I've been around some good people of God. I've been around some great men of God. But I can say this without reservation. The people that I get to work with at this church, in children's church, the nursery, the deacons, are absolutely the best group of people that I've ever been able to work with. And we thank God for you, and we thank God for the work that you have done and what you continue to do. And let's keep this in mind. Everything we do, everything, you don't do it for you, you do it for the honor and glory of God. Amen. And if you do that, God will bless in ways that we could never accomplish on our own. Now, along those lines, the lesson or the message this morning is simply this: who will be blessed? And this line, these words, are simply, this both a question, but it's also a statement. And sometimes if we look at that, and I want to read Psalms chapter number 1, you ask the question, who will be blessed? Basically, the Word of God gives us the answer. It is a statement of who will be blessed. And I want to tell you this morning, and we're going to read in just a minute, I believe it matters if you serve God. Sometimes people say, well, what difference does it make if I do the things that are according to the Word of God or the Bible? Why can't I just go on and live my life and be what I want to be? After all, I'm a good person. I believe in God. I'm a Christian. Well, there's more. It matters. It matters. And the reason that we're on this earth is to serve God. That's why we're here. That's the whole purpose of us being here. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday, and we were saying, you know, we go through life, and there are so many blessings that God pours out on us, but the truth is there are struggles. There are journeys, there are challenges, there are stresses, there are pressures, but we walk through those, and we walk through them with God. And I want to tell you something, it does make a difference. It does matter if you serve the Lord. Psalms chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1, the scripture says this: Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now I want to flip over and read one verse in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7. It says this, Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Now I want us to look back to Psalms chapter 1 and look at some things that this scripture says. It says, Blessed is the man. And I can remember a few years ago and, you know, going through Hiram with my boys, and particularly Matthew. Luke at the time was just in a car seat. And I'll say this, looking at my own life, and many of you can relate to this, I can remember a time in my life before my boys were born that I wanted sons. And what I wanted is boys that I could watch grow up, that I could do things with, that I could buy four-wheelers for and motorcycles for and BB guns and all those things that make mamas nervous. And I can remember wanting that, and here I am now. The truth is I've come to the point of my life, they're growing up, and I told my wife, I said, you know, in 5 years our lives are going to be very, very different. I said, the days of those times and the things that we've done and the stress, the homework, the going to games, the things that we, you know, go through in that period of life, it's going to be something that will be a memory. And there's a song it's a country song, but some folks don't believe this, but I've actually, some country songs will preach. And here's one of them. It says, you're going to miss this. And I can remember, and this is why I said that, the memories of going back in my mind of riding down the road with them when they were little, and we'd always go through the Crystal drive-thru, and we'd get them a hamburger because they couldn't pass it without wanting one. And we pulled out of the Crystal, and there was a van rolling down the four-lane, and on the side of it, all it had was the big words that said, Blessed is the man. That's all it said. And I can remember my son looking up at me, it was Matthew, he said, Daddy, what does that mean? I was so delighted by his question that I began to tell him what the Word of God said. And that spurred and spawned in my heart for me to go and begin to look at this scripture. And I want to tell you what the Word of God says this morning when it said, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It matters if you serve God. Now here's what it says. It gives us something. It said, He shall be like a tree. Now I mentioned just a minute ago, everybody has struggles. Everybody has troubles. I can remember growing up watching my dad as he would work. He was a bivocational painter, and he would get up. Sometimes he'd have a cold, he'd have the flu, whatever. He'd go to work if he could walk. And he would go to work, and I can remember one day he came home, and he was rattled when he came in the door. And I was a teenager, and I was listening to him tell my mother about being on a roof, and he had to lay a ladder on a roof to reach a gable, and he was on that roof. And he said, the board that I had nailed in gave way. He said, I slid all the way down that roof and caught right on the edge, or I would have fell about 25 feet. Now, here's a person that had no health insurance. That had a family at home that was depending on him, and he was standing there talking to my mother, and he was praising God for the blessings of God. He was thanking the Lord that he was able to go to work even when he didn't feel like it, and he said, I want to thank the Lord for helping me that I didn't fall off of that roof. Now, I know sometimes troubles come, but here's what I want you to understand this morning, church. Troubles come to everybody. Okay, so just being a Christian doesn't mean that you're not going to have any trouble. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have any heartaches. You're not going to have any burdens. You're not going to have any financial difficulty. You're not going to have any arguments. But the Word of God says it does make a difference if you serve God. It said He's going to be like a tree. Now, we could compare every person to a tree. But there are certain kind of trees that when the wind blows, you don't want to be up in them. Being an outdoorsman, I know what kind of trees those are. And if I'm up in the middle of a pine tree and I'm up about 30 foot and that wind starts to blow hard, I start making ways to get down. Because I know what's likely to happen is at about 20 foot, it's going to break right in half and it's going to land on the ground. But there are certain kind of trees that when the wind blow, that tree will just about lean over and touch the ground, but it'll stand right back up. You know, I've got in a sweet gum, and that thing will rock and go back and forth so far that you feel like you're going to reach down and touch the ground, but it's going to keep standing. And when a person walks with God, it says they shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And here's some things that I want you to see from that. When you plant something down by the water, if you ever notice how the grass is so green right by the edge of the highway, it's because the water is absorbed into the asphalt and it goes under the asphalt. And the water that's under the asphalt actually feeds the grass along the sides of the road. That's why you have to be careful at night and watch for deer that are eating that fresh planted grass where they've done work. When a tree is planted down by the river and it's the right kind of tree, it's got nutrients that are there that feed it. And here's what that's comparable to. It's a person that's hooked up to God and has a relationship with God. Even in the difficulties of life, the Spirit of God will feed you and it will help you and it will give you what you need to make it. How do people make it that do not have God? He's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers, a firm footing. When the wind blows, it bends, but it does not blow over. And he's in a very fertile place. And what he does is he brings forth fruit. Now, let me tell you the purpose of bringing forth fruit. It's to honor and glorify the Lord. Sometimes people want to do something, or they want to be in a position in the church, or they want to have a status or a name or a title. Sometimes people, it amazes me at work, people are more concerned about what their title is than they are their salary. You bring forth fruit to honor and glorify the Lord, and you bring forth fruit so that those that are around you that are hungry and need can be able to get something that they need. You see, a person that walks with the Lord does not suffer spiritual barrenness. Doesn't mean you won't have difficulty, church. We know that we have. We've had it lately. But it matters. And it says this, his leaf also shall not wither. You know, sometimes we go through drought in our life. You ever went through a period of time that you were looking for God and you're trying to hear from God and you wonder where God's at? But if you've been connected and hooked up, as I heard Joe Arthur preach one time, he said, I'm hooked up to the spout where the glory runs out. Hooked up to God. And when you have him, you have something the world doesn't have. You see, if I'm depending on the world, or I'm depending on my ability, or I'm depending on what I have, eventually I'm going to suffer loss. But here's something about a leaf that does not wither. Yes, we do have challenges in this life. But a Christian who has been born again, saved by the grace of God, does not suffer the full effects of the curse because of the blessing of grace. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. When Adam and Eve were in the garden and Adam sinned, there was a curse that was placed on mankind, and all of mankind suffered because of the sin of Adam. The earth suffered, the ground suffered, everything that we have suffers. But then grace came, and what God does is he pours out grace on us, and he gives grace to us, and it helps us so that the effects of the curse do not overwhelm us, or as men in these bodies, without God, where would we be? And then it says this, and I like this, it says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, the Bible talks in one place that if a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him. I mentioned it last Sunday, and I want to read in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. I want you to see this. I want God's hand to make what I do prosper. You know, we talk about financial prosperity, but what's the limit? How much does it take? Well, if you ask anybody, they're pretty much going to tell you just a little more. Just a little more. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, it says this about Jabez. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him in sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. You know, if you just look at Jabez, we believe the scripture says God granted him that which he requested, so he was blessed. Jabez was blessed because he called upon the Lord. Jabez simply recognized that God could change his name. Now, if you understand where the scripture is located in the book of Chronicles and you begin to read it, this is listing of the names of the descendants and the people. It's name after name after name. And sometimes people say, well, you know, it's hard for me to read the Bible through. How do I read that and get anything from it? You got to know where the nuggets are. And as you're reading through the names and you go through name after name after name and you get down to Jabez, there's a pause and it said, Jabez called on the name of the Lord, and it brings him out from all those other people to let you understand that it does make a difference if you serve God. You see, his name simply meant he makes sorrowful. Now, how would you like to be born and your mother name you sorrowful? That's exactly what his name was. She said, because I bore him in sorrow. Now, we don't know the depth of the story. We don't know where Dad was at. We don't know what other things happened. But we know that there was a generational curse that was placed on him. And he said, I'm rising above it. And I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to ask God to bless me because I believe it makes a difference. See, he asked God to change the tag that had been placed upon them by those from his past. And I want to say this to everybody, and I'm looking forward to the day that we can be back in regular service. Looking forward to the day that we can be back in regular service and we can get back to celebrate recovery and we can get back to serving God. There are a lot of people today, and I want you to understand something. You're more than the tag that has been placed upon you. You are more than the name that has been placed upon you. And you are more than the sum of your past. If you understand and study the Word of God and you see who God used, every one of them had a past. Brother Allen mentioned Moses a minute ago. He sure had a past. See, Jabez asked God to bless him. And the Bible says God granted him that which he requested. You know, sometimes when you study God's word, you really need to understand that interpreting God's word comes from comparing scripture to scripture. What was said here to Jabez is reconfirmed in the first chapter of Psalms. And I believe today, in the day and time that you and I are living in, God still wants to bless men and women who follow him. And I believe that there are still some things that God does bless and that he still blesses. There are some things that God still honors. And I want to say this, and I got a few points I want to give you. Now, how many of us today could have thought when we were growing up that we'd ever see things like we see them today? Ever see them like we see them in our nation? Even ever see them in relationships of how churches worship God? Who'd ever thought we'd ever be in a situation like we're in today that we're told that we can't leave our homes? I can remember what it was like when I was growing up and when I was 10, 12, 15 years old, grew up in church, always been around preachers, always going to homecomings and revivals that would last weeks at a time. I never would have thought it'd be like it is today. And I have actually had people tell me it's not going to be the same. God's not doing this. God's not doing that. I want to tell you something. If you're out there and you believe that, just because you've been placed on a shelf because you won't serve and worship God, and let me tell you something. God's not dead. God's not through. He's not done. He's still moving amongst his people. And I believe God is going to do great things at Hiram First Baptist Church. because there are some things that God still honors. Here's one of them. God honors those who pray. Pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our president. Pray for those that you don't even like. Pray for them. The Bible says, in so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon their head. Now, I'm not praying, saying, Lord, pray, send fire down on them. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is God speak to their heart. God help them have understanding. God soften their heart and let them understand that you are why they even exist. Our breath comes from the Lord. Pray for God's wisdom. Pray for God's direction. And pray for God's blessing. Can I tell you, it's okay to ask God for a blessing? The Bible teaches us that when we pray, we ought to ask for things according to His will. And I say this to my boys, and I'll say them with them here. Now I got grandboys, it's the same way. I want to bless them. And sometimes I bless them more than they deserve. And if they would just learn the secret and behave themselves and pick up their wet towels and clean their dirty rooms, there'd be even more blessings. Now here's where you get, do you get it? God wants to bless you. It's okay to ask Him for a blessing. But if you'd get in line with what His will is, let me tell you something. He might open the windows of heaven and pour out something out on you that you won't even be able to contain. See, God honors those who pray. God honors those who are faithful. Faithfulness matters. Faithfulness matters in good times, but let me tell you when it really matters. Faithfulness matters in difficult times. See, being faithful to your wives and to your husbands, faithful to your family, faithful to your church, faithful to your God. Why can't sometimes people just get together and love one another and put differences aside, understanding that this life is so short? You know, sometimes families can't even get together at Thanksgiving and at Christmas and birthday parties because of some little something that really means nothing, when in reality, why do we even have to discuss and argue about the things that we disagree on, but realize that God has given us each other and let's love one another while we have time, because we won't always have time. You see, God honors those who are faithful. Another message I had on my heart that I thought I might be preaching on this morning is this, and it's out of the Beatitudes. It said, blessed are the peacemakers. My dad was a peacemaker. That's just the kind of man he was. He was a great man. And I can remember the times that we would come together, and I had siblings, and I've got a couple of sisters and a brother, and we grew up squabbling. And we still would be squabbling. But we just have to choose not to squabble. But I can remember times we'd come together when we were little. You know what my daddy wanted? He wanted peace in the house. He wanted us to be able to sit down around the table and join hands and say a prayer over the meal and eat and put our differences aside and love one another. You know, the people that you know and love, they're not perfect. And if you had to be for them to love you, where would we be without the mercy and forgiveness of God? Blessed is the man, but it says blessed are the peacemakers. Something else God honors is God honors those who walk in righteousness. Said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Here's something you don't hear, but I can't help it. It's in my heart. There is such a thing as righteousness. There is still such a thing as right and wrong. We're living in a land today that where we want to say it, everything is all right, I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. I don't make the rules, God does. Amen. And there is such a thing as righteousness, and there is such a thing as right and wrong. And God honors those who walk in righteousness. And a good man is a man who walks according to the ways of God. Sometimes we cannot live life to satisfy ourselves. When we do, we'll hurt those that are closest to us. Sometimes to walk in righteousness, you have to put your feelings aside completely and surrender to the will of God. Number four, God honors those who honor Him. You must acknowledge that He is God, He alone is God, and we are not. You know, there are questions that I have that I may never have the answers to. Sometimes people get mad at God and then they want to say that God doesn't exist. Well, who are you mad at? They're upset because things didn't go the way that they wanted them and things didn't happen the way that they wanted them. And they basically are trying to be God themselves. That's why they're mad at God. The truth is, I'm not. I can't be. I can't even order my next breath. I don't have all the answers, but I know this, just like the disciples said. They said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. You see, you honor God by giving your life and your soul to Him. But the scripture says this in the fourth and the fifth verse, as it pulls away from who will be blessed to who will not be blessed. Sometimes people get confused about blessing, and if you go to the Psalm of Asaph, I think it's the 73rd Psalm. He said, I was looking at the wicked and the ungodly. He said, I saw how they were blessed. He said, it troubled me till I went into the house of the Lord. If you read it, and this is a paraphrase, he said, basically I was so upset and troubled when I started paying attention at the ungodly world and how it seemed like they had everything going and there was nothing happening, that I didn't even want the congregation to know how I felt. He said, but then God spoke to me. And I understood therein. This is not all. You see, you can be blessed here. But the difference for a Christian is we have eternity. Amen. We're going to be living in eternity with the Lord. I'm going to see my loved ones. I'm going to see my family. I'm going to be in the presence of God. See, the scripture says the ungodly are not so. But they are like the chaff, which the wind drives away. They'll not rise in judgment. Their place in eternity is set. You see, the place of the ungodly in eternity is away from God, separated from God. And scripture says they will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. See, they're not going to be part of God's plan in heaven. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. I believe there are many blessings here. Many, many. And when I begin to think about eternity in heaven, you know what it's going to be like? For me, this is what I believe. It's going to be all the blessings here with all my loved ones. My family, my natural family that's going to be with the Lord, my church family that's going to be with the Lord. And you know what it's going to be? Without all the trouble. No arguing, no bickering, no sin, no crime. No moth or rust doth corrupt. No tears in heaven. All those things left outside the gate. And I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. And I believe, based on what I understand in the Word of God, a lot of the desires of our heart are going to be given to us. Remember, God wants to bless you. Why wouldn't anybody want to spend eternity with God? Because they won't be God themselves. And it won't be God here. Do you understand that God still wants to bless you? And also that God still wants to bless America. And God can and He will bless in many ways. The Bible talks about in the last days, there's two things. It talks about a great falling away, and we're seeing that. But it talks about something else. It talks about a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. And you can be in a place where there's a great outpouring of the Spirit of God in your house, in your church, even in the midst of a world that may be drifting away from God. The question is, do you want to be on the out or do you want to be on the in? I choose to walk with God. I choose to live my life for Him. And I'm going to surrender to Him. Now I'm going to ask you, have you asked Him to bless you? Have you asked Him to be Lord of your life? I'm going to ask as Brother Jeff comes on up. He's going to sing us a song toward the end. We're going to have an open invitation in the church if anybody wants to come and pray. But we want to ask you if you're listening this morning. The most important decision that you will ever make in your life is the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, you say, well, I don't know how to pray or I don't know what to do. I want to read a prayer to you. As I read this, you can pray along. Just ask the Lord into your heart. It says, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that you love me and want to save me. And I believe that Jesus died for my sins. Lord, I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. And Lord, right now, I ask you to save me. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. As Brother Jeff sings, and if you're listening, you can bow down right where you're at. Just pray those words. Ask God whatever your heart's desire is. God hears you. God loves you. And I want you to know God does want to bless you. God bless you.
Well, it's my desire to follow Jesus. It's my desire to live for Him. Well, often I failed Him and caused Him. Wealth and and its riches. I don't need its fame, 'cause it's my desire. It's my desire. It's my desire.
You fight my every battle.
Thank you for being here this morning, and thank you to those who tuned in. God bless you.
So many souls have tested him throughout the course of time. So many still reach out to him with broken hearts and minds.